Hey, yo, welcome back to a brand new episode of Full Court Press, podcast by basketball fans for basketball fans. I'm your host, Bonnie. And again, we are here, Mr. Felix Alvarado. How's it going, man?
What's up? How's everything, man?
Oh, dude, you don't understand. I am so excited to talk about the first week of basketball happening in the NBA. It's so good to be back, man. There's so much to debunk. On today's episode, we are talking about our Toronto Raptors. How are they doing? Are they meeting expectations? The next topic we're talking about will be the league. Overall landscape of the league, our thoughts about it, some debuts, what impresses us, and then that will eventually lead into the Harden trade. So stay tuned on this episode. Let's get it. Clearly, Scotty Barnes heard you from our last episode. What's going on?
Yo, he fucking heard me, bro. But he actually did, and I'm going to give it to him. You know, those first four games he got, he definitely did impress me. And I'm not saying I'm going to take back what I said. I am going to still hold on to it just because it's just the first four games. You never know how the rest of the season will unfold. But our Raptors, man, I don't know what to say. Through the first four games, they're 1-3. They did win opening night, which is sick. Good for them. Whatever. But they're on a three game losing streak as of right now. It's a Halloween, right? Oh my god, bro. That Bulls game was a disaster. They started off nice, I guess, like 14-2 or something. And then the Bulls went on a 40-9 run. And then the Raptors respond to a 33-5 run to have everyone amped. And then they collapsed to a 22-5 run, bro. That was pretty devastating to me. And then I think that was maybe a glimpse of what I said earlier of them not having a good season. I think they're not going to make the playoffs. This is the start of, look how they're starting already. I don't know what's going to happen with Siakam. Because I told you, he looked uninterested, you know? Like, for me, he should be averaging 25 points per game. Right now, he's a pretty inefficient 16 points per game right now. It's not going to cut it, especially that now you're in the midst of what the hell is going to happen with the Raptors, right? And they're going to have from now to the trade deadline to figure out what's the next steps going moving forward. But averaging 16 points per game is not going to really help Siakam's stock. So then again, we might even end up settling. And it's, again, Masai's fault because he's good to be patient, but I don't know. I think they should have done a reset on the offseason that passed already. But Grady Dick, pretty impressive. You know, I think he's okay there. He's a very good shooter. He's going to learn to be in his spots in the right time. There is some slip pitch in defensive and in his defensive ability, but that comes because he's a rookie, right? It's going to come to him. He's only four games in. I know I said a lot of negative stuff, but I'll just end with this. I know I'll just end with this one, though. I just end with this one. After week one, they end in top five defensive ratings as a team. So that's a W. I'll take that W. But right now, they do kind of look like a mess to me. What about you?
Yo, you're 100% right. They are a mess. Even though they won their first game against the Timberwolves, I wasn't convinced that it was going to go, you know, the way we wanted it to go, right? After watching that first game, I was just like, if the Raptors actually play like this consistently every single night, they may actually have a chance of finishing as an eighth seed because the East is stacked already.
East is stacked.
It is so stacked, right? But what I realized too with the Raptors is, yes, Scotty Barnes is literally filling out the stat sheet. This guy is literally in every statistical category. And you can see that he's trying to commit by getting to his spots, right? That will come with time. And I do agree with you that he won't grow as long as Siakam is still there. And then following up on the next game against Chicago, bro, that game was like the most stressful, like eighth seed elimination game anyone has ever watched, man. Like, this is my theory. I think DeMar purposely missed that free throw at the end of that quarter, at the end of regulation, before the end of regulation. He purposely missed that free throw so he can send it to OT and so that Alex Caruso can just go off. That was a sad L. I can't lie.
No, you know what? Just to take it in, we took two L's from former Raptors, the DeRozan N. Nick Nurse.
yeah.
You're goddamn right.
And the Sixers, yo. The Sixers, man, they beat our ass, man. And they 100% deserved to win that game. And same with the Blazers. The Blazers game was an interesting thing to watch because I had a feeling that Scoot Henderson was going to put up some numbers that night, and it was the only night I actually benched him on my fantasy. And I'm kind of cheesed. No, but like the one thing I would say that kind of summarizes exactly what the Raptors are doing right now, currently, as of right now, is what Jakob Poeltl said in his press conference. He literally said that they're not on the same page offensively. This is what he said. We're trying to apply the stuff that we do in practice to the game. Drive, kick, swing, offense, play through the elbows, trying cuts, different split screens. But at times, we get in this mode where it seems like everybody's just trying to make something happen almost randomly. We're not on the same page, and then we just dribble into a crowd, try and kick out, and the next guy's dribbling into a crowd. We're not really getting any advantages out of it. Right now, what you said last episode, the direction as to where we're going or as to where the Raptors are going is still up for question. That's it.
See, it's up in the air, man. It's up in the air. I don't know. It's only week one, right? So I'm not going to put too much like on it, but it's not a good start. It really isn't. But let's see how it unfolds.
We're clearly entering a new era of basketball. And, you know, what were your feelings before opening night, especially with, you know, the new additions to the regular season structure with the in-season tournament that's happening? Obviously, brand new rules that are being in place in the game right now, such as the flopping rule and the coach's challenge. If it's successful, you get a second one, right? So,
yeah,
break it down, like, especially debuts, like, what has impressed you?
You know what? I'm actually amped for this in-season tournament now, to be honest. Especially now that you have the new court design.
Yeah, those court designs look so, so...
And you know what? And I get so mad because, yo, just bring it back for the playoffs, the championship game, you know? When they had the trophy in the middle back in the day.
Yeah. That was sick.
That.
Yeah, what was that? That was like 2008, 2009.
2008. I think it was 2008, 2000. I think it stopped in the 2010s, bro.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Holy, it was such a... Bring that back.
But did you see Kevin Durant's face? When he was looking through, through the courts, he's like, "We're playing on a purple court. We are about to watch televised live 2K unfold. It's gonna be sick."
For real? No, for real. It's actually gonna look so sick. And it's Tuesday and Thursday nights, you know. And I think you know what? Rating wise, I see why they do Thursday night because there's Thursday night football, so they're gonna trying to compete for that spot. But yeah, that's what I'm excited for the most. The Wimby feeling gives me the LeBron feeling when like LeBron came in. It's a little bit. I feel like, you know, you're always going to get that number one pick, you know, the Zion feeling when he came, the Luka feeling when he came, right? But Wimby's different. He gives me the LeBron James vibes, and his debut was nothing short of what you expect, to be honest. And if you really look back, he kind of had like similar stats as Tim Duncan. But what I did notice, though, and why he's going to be so good in the league, is that they like to see him score. Every time they score, it's like, they took a three to take the lead or something, yeah, you know, yeah. Or like, yeah. You know, it's the last 2 minutes of the game, you know, when you just caught up every time he scores, bro. So that's why I can see why he's such a good thing for the league, because especially for San Antonio, especially for that small market, he's going to bring a lot of traction there.
Even if San Antonio didn't get the first pick, because we know it was still rigged.
Oh my God.
Yo, I just heard the story of how Greg Popovich found out.
Oh, what was it?
He said he was just sleeping and his son-in-law woke him up and said, hey, you guys just got a number one pick. And he's like...
See, he's a legend. He's a legend. He's a legend. My point with San Antonio is, and this is why I think it's the perfect place for Wembanyama. And I'm quoting this from Tony Parker's documentary, which y'all should actually catch on Netflix because I think it's a dime. It's such a gem to watch. Y'all check it out. Essentially, in the documentary, I believe it was Mark Spears, who was one of the guests being interviewed. And he said that for Tony Parker, San Antonio was the perfect place because there's no distractions. There's only basketball. Where you go to like obviously bigger cities. And this is the perfect place for someone like Wemby to grow.
Bro, what do you do in San Antonio?
Yeah, exactly. What do you do? If anybody in San Antonio is listening, what do y'all do? We want to know.
Yeah, what do you do for fun? Because, you know, to be honest, my perception of San Antonio is kind of like Alberta.
Yeah? I couldn't tell you. I don't have any interest.
I heard Alberta's a ghost town, you know? So I'm going to think the same thing as San Antonio. Talking about young guys, yo. Chet.
that 7-block performance.
No, no, finish that stat, bro. 16 points, 3 rebounds, and 7 blocks. He definitely won Rookie of the Week, and he is... See, I guess that's, you know, I was just talking about the benefits of to my friend about Blake Griffin. You know when Blake Griffin was injured that first year and he stood out? He settled the whole year, and he came back stronger and healthier. Yeah. I think that's what Chet just went through. And he had the whole year to observe off the bench. And now it's actually more crazy to think about because there was no vet presence there, to be honest. This is a very, very young team.
Yeah, man. And you know what? To your point, too, it's one of those things where I don't think I've seen a young core like that, like, click so quick in, like, at least 3 seasons' time, you know?
And you'll see it. Like, you know, example, that game against Denver where you see Shai did not have the best game. You know what he can bring every game. But that game, he didn't. I think he was, what, 11 points or 7 points or something like that, right? He got blown out. This is where you miss the veteran presence, right? This is where you're going to miss the guy that's going to direct, okay, if Shai's not working, what can other people do contribute? Where can you put him in the spots, you know? Slow the game down, whatever they have to say or whatever they have to do. I don't know what they're going to do this year, but I'm pretty sure sooner or later they're going to need that. They're going to realize that. They need the veterans.
Yeah.
But Chet could be Rookie of the Year. But I'm telling you, it could be that Melo LeBron effect.
Ah, aha. I see.
Yeah, I think so. I think Chet should be the Rookie of the Year, and then it's going to be Wimby. And it's all assuming they both play 65 plus, right?
Right.
But on the east side, though, Jalen Duren, eh? And that's a team stacked with centers and potential worthy centers, you know? They have a lot of good potential worthy type of... You have Azeo Stewart, you have Jalen Duren, you have James Wiseman. Those are... And Azeo Stewart, yo, he's that guy. He's born to be a Piston.
Yeah, he's a bad boy, yo. He's a bad boy 2.0.
He's a bad boy, bro. But for Jalen Duren, I think he's averaging 15 points, 13 rebounds, and 2 blocks. You know? The thing, what I got from there is that Monty is finally happy he has a capable, young center.
100% agree, man.
Because DeAndre Ayton, what did he call himself? DeAndre...
Nah, Dominaton.
Domination?
Dominaton.
Yeah, Domination. Bro. And what, his first 2 games? Oh. Atrocious. And then he obviously had a pretty impressive game against the Raptors, but...
Impressive. Bro, this guy was dropping Kevin Love numbers, man. 20 plus?
I'm going to say what? Oh, his rebounds.
Yeah, man, yeah, 23.
Yeah, but the first 2 games, bro, what the hell is that? You know, and it's against the Raptors too. I won't take that. I won't take it. He has to do it against, you know, worthy centers, bro.
You're goddamn right.
But segueing from that, was there any a player out there that just fucking impressed you? Like, he's just been killing it throughout the whole board.
Cam Thomas, yo. Out of nowhere. Out of nowhere.
Finally but, letting him shine.
Yeah, man. That Nets team is a surprising thing. Like, literally,
Straight
that Nets
buckets,
team.
Bro.
Brooklyn, I don't know what's in the water there, but y'all are feeding that to Ben Simmons, or he's drinking that water. Because at one point I saw a stat line where like it literally said 10 rebounds, and I've never seen a stat line start like that before. It started with 10 rebounds instead of points. I was like, what?
Don't kill me, bro. That's funny. You know, I thought Mikal Bridges would be the one, you know, with the headlighting and everything, but it's Cam Thomas, man, and straight buckets. Straight buckets. Heat? 1-3, bro. Jimmy's kind of injured. Hero is the bright spot for them, though. Last game, he had 35 points. I feel
so sorry for them, man. I really do.
I was just about to say that. I don't know what to say to them. I'm trying to see what the bright spot is, but there isn't.
Yo, man, that heat's all over the place. It's going to burn down
soon,
lost. Yo.
Look, they lost Max Strus, and he had a great debut. 27 points in that first game. Bro, they put all their bags in one hat, and Pat Riley is fuming right now. But you know what's funny though? Nepotism, man.
The fuck out of here.
Bro. Giannis Antetokounmpo, bro. Has no business to be in NBA. It's nepotism. Just because he's related to Giannis, that's why he had 7 Shaq and a Fool moments. In like the last 5 minutes of a blowout game. No, please, you gotta, yo, watch these clips, man. Watch these clips. I have no idea. But hey, it works. Giannis stayed. And look what happened. They got Dame. And Dame and Giannis had a really good debut. Dame had 39 points that first game. He has 0 points his second game, but it's okay. I think it's just they have to work it out. But my hot take is by the end of the season, they'll be the best duo in the NBA, hands down.
Really?
They work well together, man. They just do. They just fucking do.
Better than Jokic? Like, better than Jokic and Murray.
But they're dominant in their own way. You know what I'm saying?
How? How so? Break it down, bro. Break it down.
No, actually, no. They're not dominant in their own way. They're kind of, because they do bring the same element. Yeah, Giannis can average those assists if he wants to. But I think just Giannis will just play more of a dominant game, more dominant offensively, where Jokic is, he will get his points more efficiently, but he will get everyone else involved.
You know,
I'm just talking.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I'm just talking about like just on 2-on-2 thing. I think Damian Lillard clears the floor over Jamal Murray, in my opinion.
No, I agree with that. But in tandem, in regards to chemistry, I think it's like already clicked. So that's why I can't give Dame and Giannis the green light quite yet.
For sure, yeah. Okay, 100% for sure. Chemistry, yeah. But I think by the end of this year, yeah, they're gonna get the same type of chemistry.
You know what Watch I think, me. Bro? You know what I think? I think if he plays slower, like Jokic, that's going to be a testament in regards to Adrian Griffin's system. I don't want to see some plays actually being ran. I don't want it to be like, send it to Dame, high screen and roll. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Because Jokic can slow down the game where Giannis, you can't.
He can't, you know?
Giannis, you have to play fast pace.
Yeah, he's still...
That is a good point.
And he's still rim runs.
He's a transition player.
Yeah, he still rim runs.
He runs everything in transition. Yeah, he cuts everything.
You know?
That's why he's trying to go to Hakeem to get those footworks. You know what I'm saying? He has to add some elements, right? No, I'm going to still stick with my hot take, man. I still think they're going to make it work. And I feel like, because they gave me that type of vibe with Shaq and
Kobe.
Yeah. Like a more modern day, way more modern day. They're not that dominant. I don't think they'll ever be that dominant, but that modern day Shaq and Kobe, to be honest. That's what I'm trying to give, because they work. I always do think a point guard and a dominant center always work. And look, case in point right now, Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic.
I will tell you this, though. Even if it was on the blacktop, I would still take Jokic and Murray over Damon and Giannis.
All right, then I'm going to run you on a blacktop and I'm going to show you what's up.
Okay. All right, now let's break down this Harden trade. All right, break it down, man.
All right, so... This yo, first of all, Woj never sleeps. This guy, when did he report this? At 2 a.m., right?
Yeah, man. Yo, he woke me up. He woke me up.
No, I woke up the next day. God damn, bro. This guy don't sleep. This guy's first. I feel like if he wasn't an NBA, you know, if he wasn't like, what is he? What's his title?
Senior insider reporter or newsbreaker like that.
If he wasn't his whatever that title is, I think he'll be the biggest rat on the street. You know, he'll know everything all the time, bro. if that wasn't his title, you know. but this is what happened. The Sixers received.
I can't.
Yeah. Okay. On this trade, the Sixers received Nicholas Batum, Marcus Morris, Robert Covington, KJ Martin, and multiple draft picks. The Clippers received James Harden, PJ Tucker, and Flip, I can't say his name. Flip Petrusev, not Frank Kortmaz, who's still trying to get out of Philly. This guy is acting like he's in jail, bro. Every year asking to get out. And Philly's just keeping him, like he's like punishing him. Like, why would you want to keep that? I don't get it. But again, he got denied his trade request. So he's still in Philly. But I think clearly Philly won this trade, man. And I think this opens up so much opportunity for Embiid, because by just trading Harden, you clear over $35 million in cap space.
Mm.
Plus, you help Maxey grow into his potential. Like, I'm not going to say like Harden hindered him, because deadass, I'm pretty sure Harden mentored him, you know? And you can see his growth. Look at him. Look how he's playing right now.
You know what I think that is, though? Going off that right now, I think that's the Chris Paul effect, because when he was with him in Houston, where did they get them at that time?
That's true.
WCF, right? So all that knowledge being passed down, I think you're right. Go ahead.
And also moving PJ, you clear 11 mil. So just between those two, they cleared $46 million in cap space, right? And going into next season, they're going to have $50 to $65 million in cap space, because, you know, besides moving PJ and James Harden, they got a lot of vets with expiring contracts.
Yeah.
Going 2024, 2025, Embiid is the only one with a guaranteed contract, right? They did get a lot of first round picks. So what I was going to say is that, you know, with the $50 to $65 million cap space, they have all these expiring contracts they can, you know, put in together as a trade. Maybe they can land someone, right? Maybe Zach LaVine, you know? Let's see what the Bulls, whatever's going to happen to the Bulls or DeRozan, whatever, whoever it is, right? But Philly did win this trade and got out of the mud, and which opens up a lot of opportunities what Morey can do with his team, right? But, you know, it's an interesting week for Philly because Embiid also got fined. Did you see that? 35K for doing the
socket sign.
But did you see Triple H? Triple H tweeted out, say, yo, I thought he was going to tweet out saying he's going to pay for it. Nah, bro. This guy tweeted out saying, yo, I know you got fined for that, doing that for the NBA, but there's a place you don't have to get fined for that. Because WrestleMania is in Philly this year.
What? Yeah. Well, mind blown. So, yo, what the hell?
100% sure this guy's going to pull up in WrestleMania. I'm going to put all my money, bro, that freaking Joel Embiid is going to WrestleMania.
Uh-huh, honey.
Like I said, I think Philly really won. But what do you think? Because going to the Clippers side, I don't think they gave up that much that really will really hurt their roster. They were able to keep Terrence Mann. They were able to keep Norman Powell, who's also a spark off the bench. They got even Zubac still. I just don't know how they're going to handle James Harden and Russell Westbrook. I think one of them has to go to the bench to make this work.
Just with the Harden trade alone, you're right. Philly did get a lot of assets back. I think they won the trade too. Because now Daryl Morey, he can do whatever he wants with those picks. He has 4 picks in total. He has 2 first rounders, 2 second rounds, and 1 pick swap, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, quick shout out to Casey Kiernan of AM Hoops. Y'all got to check out his content too. His stuff is so good at so good at breaking down like news that's happening.
Every trade,
like anything that you guys want to check. If you guys ever want to check out his stuff, we'll leave a link to his video on this episode. Essentially what he was saying was, now that Daryl Morey has all these picks, and now obviously Tyrese Maxey has the green light to be Tyrese Maxey, right? I think he's going to treat Joel and Tyrese Maxey how Denver treated Jokic and Jamal Murray. And now just adding role players around them. They could gun for a star, but adding role players around him. So here are some of the names that Casey brought up in his video. He was talking about what you said, Zach LaVine. He brought up DeMar DeRozan. He brought up Alex Caruso, all from the Bulls. Next team that he also brought up was the Raptors, OG Anunoby and Pascal Siakam. The next team, possibly in talks from the Pacers, is Buddy Hield. Since Benedict Mathurin is in town, you have Tyrese Halliburton in there. You have Obi Toppin. You also have Bruce Brown now. You have all these young guys that are essentially trying to become what OKC started a couple seasons ago. Buddy Hield is going to be a perfect, perfect fit in a team like the Sixers should Daryl Morey end up getting him. Another team, the Blazers. Malcolm Brogdon. Can you imagine Malcolm Brogdon with the Sixers? You have Malcolm Brogdon, Tyrese Maxey, Joel Embiid. You're telling me that team would not contend?
I don't think adding Malcolm Brogdon will get them over that hunch, in my opinion. So I'm going to put cap on that one. But I like the comparison with the Denver Nuggets, because the first thing when you said that, you know, Jamal Murray and Jokic for Maxey and Embiid. Tobias Harris is like their Aaron Gordon.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
If they go that route, they're really putting all their backs in their chips against the potential growth of Tyrese Maxey. And he can grow to that superstar.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But they have enough. They are probably going to sign someone. And I think they probably are going to get one of those 4 players. Most likely Siakam, because I do think Embiid and Siakam have a good relationship, a good friendship.
Is Siakam worth a first round pick?
No.
No.
Or right? Like a first round lottery pick?
Just a first round, because the pick came via OKC.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
I think he deserves a bottom tier first round pick. I mean, bottom tier, like maybe the low 20s.
Because this is what Casey said. This is what Casey ended up breaking down. I actually think this is pretty interesting. Daryl Morey can essentially send a protected first round pick to the Blazers and get Malcolm Brogdon. He could send another first round pick, I believe in 2028, and get Buddy Hield, right? he can then move a second round pick or a pick swap, whatever the case may be, to match a contract with Alex Caruso, right? You have Caruso, Buddy Hield, Malcolm Brogdon, Tyrese Maxey.
That's fucking true. That's fucking
Joel
true.
Joel Embiid.
Oh my God. It's
Tobias fucking, Harris.
And they can
Karmas.
And they can add. And they can add they can, Kerfgas is forever going to stay there until they just before they win the championship, he gets traded. Going back to what you're saying, it's true because they can't trade those draft picks because they cleared $44 million in cap space. So they have the cap space to add all these things, and they can give away expiring contracts. So what going back to what I was saying. So yeah, I guess we can assume they're going to do a nice big move in a trade deadline.
Yeah,
to at least compete. You know?
Yeah, the trade deadline, by the way, is on February 8th.
I think they are, bro, because, you know, Embiid is also did express his unhappiness.
Yeah.
So, and then the East, like we just said, the East is stacked. So, I do think they're going to make a move by the trade deadline. And they're going to get either one of those players, maybe two.
All right, y'all. Thank you guys so much for tuning into this installment of Full Court Press. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at FCPThePod and to subscribe and download episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your shows. We are ending today's show with a game of over and under. I will be giving Felix some names of NBA players in the league, and he has to guess whether or not these players are over or under the age of 23.
Let's go. 3, 2, 1.
All right, Precious Achiuwa.
Oh, that's over, bro. Yeah.
He's over, yes. He's over.
Yeah, because he's overconfident in his defensive abilities.
RJ Barrett, over or under 23?
I think it's a trick question. I think he's 23 on the dot.
He's 23 and 139 days as of Halloween.
So are you going to cut that over? Or am I think that's a trick question because it's 23.
Yeah, it's 23.
All right. Okay, cool. So I'm two for two.
All right. Santi Aldama of Memphis Grizzlies.
Sounds like a baby, bro. He's under.
He's under? You're right. He's 22.
Woo! Let's go, bro.
How about Ayo Dosunmu? I think he's going to like be so sick at one point. Ayo Dosunmu?
He's younger than 23.
He's younger than 23?
He's younger than 23.
He's 23. His birthday is actually coming up in the new year on the 17th of January.
He sounds 22 to me. I did. Seriously, yo, man, I thought he was 22.
He sounds 22.
No, it's just because I you know us. You know when you hear all these names in NBA, you know? That's why you said the other one. I knew that was a baby, bro. I never heard that name.
How about Wendell Carter Jr.?
Oh, shit, bro.
Over or under 23?
I think he's 23.
You are wrong. He is 24.
Oh, he's older. He's way older. He's somewhat old, you know? He did sound old. I knew he wasn't under. I knew he was 23.
Ooh, this is a good one. I like this name. Nick Claxton.
Oh, yeah. He's a such a question, bro. But I still think he's a young guy. Either he's young or he's 23. But I think he's younger than 23.
You think he's younger than 23?
Yeah.
Nick Claxton is 24 years old. Thanks for tuning in to this installment of Full Court Press, and we'll catch you in the next one. Peace.